Welcome to the Scuttlebutt Radio Program with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters, a show for veterans by veterans.
Good evening, and thank you for joining us on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. You're on board with Cal Walters and Tom Claxton, both veterans of the United States Marine Corps, and we welcome you to the most important and entertaining show on the radio each week as we tackle the issues and concerns vital to the welfare of our nation's most neglected asset, the United States military veteran. And we've got an outstanding show coming up for you today, but we want to start by thanking some of the sponsors that helped make the show possible.
We certainly do. We'd like to thank the battleship USS Alabama Memorial Park, Viva Medicare of Alabama, the law firm of Gardberg and Kimberly, Ed's Seafood Shed, the official sponsor of Tom's Tirade, and Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And, of course, we want to thank all of our sponsors and you, our great listeners, because we could not do this without your support. So please let them know that you heard it on the Scuttlebutt. And, of course, SBN is all about giving our veterans a voice on the issues that are important to them. So you can always join in the discussion at 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. And you can also check us out on the TuneIn app for your smartphone at FM Talk 106.5. And if you like to listen on demand, regularly aired programs are up on most of the major podcasting sites. Just search Scuttlebutt or SBN. And if you like to listen to Tom's Tirade on demand, that's available via CastBox. There you go.
Enjoy that.
Get that blood pressure going.
Blow it out.
There you go. Also, you can find us on Facebook, follow us there. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. Got a lot of ground to cover, so if we can't get to everything or you like more information on the topics of the day, you can always check out the stack at scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information on the topics du jour. Later on SBN, VA Secretary Robert Wilkie sat down for an interview with NPR on the rollout of the VA Mission Act, starts tomorrow. And we'll play a part of that interview on what to expect from the VA in transition, I guess you could say. Also, eligible veterans may have access to urgent care, sort of the doc in the box.
Hey, man, they're going to let us go doc in a box?
As with most of those programs, there's always a little caveat here or there. But
They're talking about it.
Well, no. It's a rollout. But again, you got to jump through this hurdle, that hurdle.
Okay.
Make sure you don't get stuck with the bill.
Where's the hoops?
Yeah. But that's the possibility. We'll give you the details there. The failure of the DOD and the VA to reconcile their record systems is being highlighted by a recent report. Yeah, I mean, tell them we've been talking about this for years, so we'll continue to let you know what's going on there. And the Supreme Court's failure to hear a case will maintain a rule that bars service members from suing the government for medical malpractice. Not necessarily a victory for our service members there. And also, at-risk veterans who shun VA services may continue to fall through the cracks of the nonprofit system that's there and aimed to assist them. We'll examine the case. And President Trump remembers D-Day. Of course, Tom's tirade on Days of Infamy, good one you don't want to miss. But first, it's a reform and rollout that is years in the making, the implementation of the VA Mission Act. Tomorrow is the big day, and we've talked a little bit about some of the bits and pieces of the Mission Act. Of course, it was, I guess you could say it's Trump's signature legislation when it comes to the VA. And it really, you know, Tom, it was moved through and was signed into law last June. And of course, as with most of those things, there's periods where they have to try to figure out the rules and the regulations and get feedback and all of that.
Right, right.
And many of those who criticized the law claimed that it was just simply an attempt to privatize the VA or to move in that direction.
Well, are they changing the amount of days that that are required to wait, and also how many minutes it is to drive, to the local VA clinic?
Well, that's a big part of it. The rules that were established and that were published today, although the much of it has already been out there.
Wasn't it like 40 miles in 30 days or something like that originally?
Well, that was with the VA Choice Act. That was in the wake of the waitlist scandal. You know, okay. And that was sort of a patchwork fix. A lot of money thrown at it. And if you remember, Congress, once the money were allocated for the choice side of it, the VA kept wanting to shift it to other areas.
Oh, didn't they do that? Didn't they spend a bunch of that money?
Well, they kept trying to. You know, of course, they had to go back. You know, the program, I think, had $11 billion or $17 billion, something along those lines. And they kept having to go back to Congress for more money to keep the program alive.
What else is new?
Well, they had all kinds of excuses. You know, the computers weren't working right. The squirrels
they
weren't
have
running.
Redone their computer program about 9 times. I bet they spent $20 billion on it.
Well, that's one thing. When we do listen to the clip from VA Secretary Wilkie, something that we have talked about extensively in terms of the increase in the budget for the mm-hmm. VA. And we've looked at it over a pretty much a 10-year period, and the amount of money that has gone into the VA over the course of that time period. And I'll wait to get the numbers, and we'll talk about them after we listen to it. But the amount of money that has gone in and the return that we see, well, I guess not the return, because you're going to see some good things, you're going to hear some good things, but. You've also got some ridiculous excuses that come from some of those people mm-hmm. in the VA of why we're not getting this done or that done or the other done. But anyway, so as you were saying, Tom, it used to be 40 miles, drive of more than 40 miles or a wait longer than 30 days.
Right.
And you could choose to see a private doctor, which would be covered by the VA. Now that has switched. They will pay for veterans to see non-VA doctors if they have to wait the longer than 20 days or drive more than 30 minutes for primary or mental health care at a VA facility. For specialty care, they can see private doctors if they have to wait longer than 28 days or drive more than an hour. To see a VA provider. So, you know, you get into some of these areas and there's a little bit of a wiggle room. You know, there was even with the Choice Act, because people kept saying, well, is it 40 miles as the crow flies, or is it 40 miles, you know, in actual drive, driving distance? VA officials estimate that the new rules could increase the number of veterans eligible for private care paid for by the VA up to about 2.1 million
Ooh.
From 560,000.
That's a big increase.
And I don't want to get – we're coming up on the break. There's some other things. We'll talk about it on the other side of the break. We'll jump into some of the provisions when it talks about going to urgent care, non-VA
okay.
urgent care.
Yeah, we need to cover that. Yeah.
And when you look at non-VA urgent care, you're really looking at doc in the box because,
right.
you know, traditionally, if you needed urgent care as a veteran, to be covered, you had to go to basically an emergency room with the VA. Whether it was a clinic that had an emergency section to it, or you had to drive, for us, you drive it down to Biloxi and you had to go to the emergency room there. Now, I know they're rolling this out and they're saying that there's supposed to be a seamless transition. I guess it'll ultimately see, we'll see how, because we've talked about over the last couple of weeks, Tom, how they've already come out of, you know, sort of ahead of the game saying, oh, no. You know, they expect problems. There's going to be this. Of course, you know, they got to get another computer system.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody,
yeah,
some,
the
some
one
government,
they got, damn sure won't
yeah,
work.
Some government contractor's got to get another deal. But anyway, on the other side of the break, yeah, what we'll do is we will jump into a little bit of the bits and pieces and the details of the urgent care programs, because that's not quite as cut and dry as this is. But we'll talk about that and more when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back out to the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, a voice of the veterans. For the veterans, transmitting live on 106.5 FM and firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777. You can also catch us on the TuneIn app for your smartphone and check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And, you know, Tom, prior to the break, we were talking about the rollout of the VA Mission Act, which comes out tomorrow. I don't know if they decided they wanted to pick the anniversary, 75th anniversary of D-Day, to roll that out. But they did. And so that will go into effect. From everything that they've publicized, it should be seamless. And, you know, obviously there are going to be veterans that will be affected. They just need to make sure that if they think they fall into some of those guidelines, they probably need to check with the VA just to make sure.
Going to have to.
Before they, go, oh, no, it's more than 30 minutes. I'm going.
Oh, yeah. Some of our guys have been told to go, and then they get the bill later on. So you got to be real careful with this until it gets a little bit more time on it.
Yeah. Now, as part of that, is an expansion of the Veterans Choice Act. The VA is set to also offer medical care to eligible veterans at selected civilian urgent care facilities nationwide. You can get under the expanded program, veterans are eligible to get limited urgent care from a civilian, sort of the doc in the box, regardless of how close they are to a VA facility. It says eligibility-wise, if you're enrolled in the VA healthcare system and have received VA medical care within the last 24 months, you should be eligible for the program. It says, however, you should contact your local VA medical facility before visiting a civilian urgent care provider. Only certain services and providers are covered. So if you visit a program, a provider that isn't part of the program, or you get treatment that isn't covered, you may end up with the bill.
Right.
There's
a couple of other things, too, on down there, going down the line there a little bit.
The VA also backs that up. But, it says, most of its locations, including outpatient clinics, do have sort of that emergency component to it. I was driving around in Florida the other day, and I noticed, and it wasn't, like our VA clinic here in Mobile is you can't miss it.
Right. Okay? Oh, yeah.
But this one almost looked like it was, you know, tucked in a, almost, in, you know, in a strip mall kind of thing.
Oh, yeah. It's more like an urgent care place.
But it was supposed to be their clinic, and it said emergency care there. So, obviously, you could.
Or VA.
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah. So,
okay.
you know, they had the capability there. And so you may want to at least, you know, examine that. You can contact your local VA office to check for eligibility. You can also call 866-606-8198. You can also go to the va.gov and look for locations, because you do have to go to a location that is part of the program.
Right. Right. All the doc in the boxes don't participate.
Right. Right. So you need to check that.
This next item is interesting, guys. So listen up.
Well, you've got payments differ from regular VA medical care. You may have to make a copayment to see
there
the doctor.
There you go.
And the amount depends on your VA priority group. Everybody, you should be aware of those if you're in the system. And typically, you're going to get 3 free visits a year, which is, I mean, that's not bad.
No, that's for y'all. If you consider it an emergency, but you can't go every dang week, guys.
Right. So the copayments for priority groups 1 through 5, there's no copayment for the first 3 visits during a calendar year. After that, it's $30. And then priority group 6, there are all kinds of hoops and hurdles. If the visit is for medical treatment related to combat and chemical exposure such as Agent Orange, contaminated water at Camp Lejeune, Gulf War Syndrome, there's no copayment. For all subsequent visits, it's $30. If it's not related, the copay is $30, which is not bad. It's still not bad. I mean, one of those visits normally is – I mean, just to walk in, $60, $70, $100.
And there's no copayment for any priority group for flu shots.
Yeah, that's it. If you want to get the flu, you can go and get a flu shot.
Oh, my God. Copayments for prescription.
They'll give you
this
the flu for free, Tom.
That's a damn confusion. That's what it is.
Oh, come on, Tom.
Oh, yeah. Hey, man.
You've got all this down already.
Hell no. I ain't either. I'm going to keep this. I'm going to fold it up and put it in my pocket, in my wallet, so I'll have it.
And then you'll forget which pocket you put it in.
I'm going to go like, what is that?
what's in my pocket?
What's all this about?
But, yeah, copayment for prescriptions. You get a prescription from an urgent care center, you should get it filled at a VA network pharmacy. If you go out of network, you may have to pay the full price, then file a claim.
Lord.
So I wouldn't go through all
and
that.
And if you file a claim, it may take you a lifetime.
It is, yeah.
They will be buried you in a gunny sack.
Well, you know, it's like some of those bumper stickers I've seen. You know, the Department of Veterans Affairs giving our service members a second chance to die for their country.
A second chance, baby. You got that second chance to die.
But anyway, of course, you know, you can always, like I said, you can go to the VA website. You can call your local VA clinic to see how that would work in your particular situation. But, I mean, all in all, Tom, it's not a bad – it's a good benefit.
There's for all the guys that live locally and can, you know, get out to the big VA new clinic that we've got here, and they already own the system or in the system and can call and have prescriptions that can call into the pharmacy. You get in that routine, everything falls right into place. It doesn't cost that much. But now, you know, I mean, here you go. Well, if you're given a prescription for what the VA considers routine or maintenance drugs, such as blood pressure or cholesterol, you will have to get those filled by the VA.
Well, and that's probably part of their system. I would think it's because of the way they want those to roll out. If you remember cost-wise, you remember that they wanted everybody to either pick them up at the VA.
Right,
but really what
right.
they want is they want them to go mail order.
Yes, right.
Especially if, you know, if it's a blood pressure or something where you're going to take it for mm-hmm. a significant period of time. They want to do the 90-day mail order.
Right. And that works fine. You know, I'll get a lot of my medicines through them.
So yeah, you know, I mean, that is probably not that much of a change. If you're going to, thankfully I haven't had this situation, but if you're going to go to a doc in the box and the ultimate, problem is blood pressure or something like that, either A, you don't know about it to start out with. So they're going to say you need to get to the VA, get to your doctor anyway.
Right.
But they're probably not going to be writing prescriptions for that kind of stuff right out of the gate.
Well, you know, where this actually helps and will help a lot of our vets is the fact that if at night or something happens to you and you stumble and break a bone or something or whatever, cut your head open, you can go to a doc in a box because the VA is not open.
Right.
Or if it's a weekend, you can go in. You're possibly going to get refunded for that. Possibly. I wouldn't guarantee that.
Well,
but,
you know, my thought, Tom, is if you're thinking that you might need that service,
right,
go ahead, contact the VA and say, okay, I live in, you know, here's my zip code.
Mm-hmm.
What providers are in the system that I can go to that are close to me?
What do we call it in service? Get your ducks in a row.
Well, yeah. You know, make sure you're squared away. That way,
AJ,
that
squared
way,
away.
If you have an issue.
Well, you know, hey, at least they're trying to do something. Whether it's all totally correct or not, at least they're trying.
Well, yeah. You know, the thing is they haven't complained that it's a computer glitch that's causing the problem.
Oh, yeah,
right,
the computer.
Now.
Well, they hadn't got to that yet. Give them 6 months.
No, believe me, I can only imagine that, you know, what the extensive training that's going to have to be done for these
Lord,
poor
yes.
people with the all of these new systems coming online. But anyway, you can always go to scuttlebuttnetwork.com for more information in the stack. All the information that we talked about for that is the story is in the stack, and you can always find the links there. On the other side of the break, we are going to air part of that interview from NPR from VA Secretary Robert Wilkie. We'll get his insights from somebody who might not have been exactly friendly. So we'll talk about that, and we'll listen to him when we return to the Scuttlebutt Network.
It's Scuttlebutt Radio with your hosts, Tom Claxton and Cal Walters. Radio for veterans by veterans.
And welcome back, and thank you for joining us today on the Scuttlebutt Network radio program, the voice of the veterans for the veterans. On 106.5 FM, firing the shots heard around the world at scuttlebuttnetwork.com. I'm Cal Walters here with Tom Claxton. We're glad that you've joined us to discuss the issues facing our veterans today. Our number is 343-0106 or 866-983-2777 to join in the discussion. Check us out on Facebook. You can also follow me on Twitter. It's at Cal_SBN. And just a programming note here. I guess it's been a couple of weeks since we've been out on the USS Alabama and enjoying the frivolity of doing the show live from the fantail of the USS Alabama. You know, how many radio show hosts can say that they broadcast from the fantail of a U.S. battleship?
Battleship. And more than once.
More than once. More than once, yeah.
I'm thinking about trying to get a plaque and get my name engraved on it or something. Or, you know, maybe we can put Scuttlebutt on there or something.
And Sean hasn't run into anything with the van yet.
He has hit several things that just didn't leave a mark.
Well, yeah. So, yeah, that's good to know when you got a kamikaze like him. Yeah. But yeah, driving up's one thing. It's coming down. That's the problem.
Getting back down that ramp, something else. Yeah.
But I think he'd like it if the catapult cranes were still active. Swing him over.
The cable would break. Drop him in the bay. His luck.
But we're going to be broadcasting there live next Wednesday, the 12th. That will be from 1 until 2. And if the weather permits, we will be out on the fantail. If not, we will be in the van, which will be parked on the fantail. So it's a great time to go out, and especially with school out, get the kids over there. And if you see the van, give us a knock, and it'll be great to see you out there. Tom and I will both be out there. Of course, we'll be following Sean Sullivan, who will be doing his midday mobile program starting at noon there on the battleship. Again, he might be in the van as well, weather just depending on the weather. But a great opportunity to go out and a great venue there at the Battleship. We thank General Cobb and Rhonda Davis and all the folks over there always make it so hospitable.
But, they certainly do.
Yep. And I know we've got some other sponsors that we want to mention before we move on.
Yeah, we'd like to thank all of the other fine sponsors that have continued to work with us over the last 10 years that we've actually been on the air. And the Battleship USS Alabama, Memorial Park, which we just mentioned, our sea lawyer Colin Kimmerly, and all the fine folks at the law firm of Gardberg and Kimmerly, Viva Medicare of Alabama, Patriot Roofing, Serenity Funeral Home and Gardens, and Lifeline Counseling Services, the Veteran 211 Hotline.
And, you know, all of those folks do a fantastic job. I know next week we'll be talking with Rhonda over at the Battleship, and probably have a couple of our other sponsors on with us that maybe can't normally make it during the evening to discuss what they can do for our veterans. But, you know, Tom, we've been talking really primarily about the Mission Act, which rolls out tomorrow
right.
for our veterans. And it's supposed to be an update to things that are a reform act, really, for the VA. But part of that is expanding on the Veterans Choice Program. And some of that expands private health care options for veterans. But you've got some issues with some of the things that are going to have to take place. And one of those deals with making the DOD and VA records programs compatible with each other. And there is a contractor, Travis Dalton, who is president of government services for Cerner Corp out of Kansas City. And he says, quote, this undertaking is immense. And of course it is, but they're the primary contractor of the $16 billion.
Is that with a B?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a lot of computers, Tom.
That's a lot of, computer effort.
But to go ahead and make those two systems work together. That's part of it. You know, we're talking about rolling out the Missions Act, and one of the pieces or parts of that is all the moving parts. And VA Secretary Robert Wilkie spoke with All Things Considered at NPR, and here's a portion of that interview.
We're going to spend the next few minutes talking about something that we don't often see in Washington these days, a bill that passed Congress with overwhelming bipartisan support. It's called the Mission Act, and starting this week, it will bring big changes to the Department of Veterans Affairs, particularly when it comes to health care. The law expands the number of veterans who qualify for private care that is reimbursed by the VA. Today, I spoke with the Secretary of Veterans Affairs, Robert Wilkie, and he told me the number of veterans seeking health care outside the VA has actually gone down recently. So I asked the Secretary, if that's the case, how many people does he expect to take advantage of this expansion?
I don't see that large a rise. The way the system is set up is that the veteran will come to us. We will tell him that we cannot provide a service. And because he lives outside a certain number of minutes from a VA facility, and we're telling him that the wait time is greater than 20 days, then he has the option of going into the private sector.
As you know, critics are afraid that this is a move towards privatizing VA healthcare.
Right.
Explain why you disagree with that view.
Well, I just presented a $220 billion budget, a budget that also calls for an employee base of 390,000. 10 years ago, the budget was $98 billion, and we had 280,000 employees. So if we're going about privatizing this, we're going about it in a very strange way.
But on its surface, doesn't expanding eligibility for private care constitute a shift away from government-provided health care, whether or not this is part of, as critics would accuse, some kind of Trojan horse larger project of privatization?
Well, no, not if you read the Mission Act. My goal is to provide the best possible health care because it's not only the right thing to do, but the Congress said it right there in the legislation. And because of the nature of our patient base, people like my father had suffered terrible combat wounds in Cambodia. There's nothing in the private sector that is going to understand or take care of someone who has suffered that kind of trauma in battle. There's just no other place like it.
I'd like to talk about another important topic, which is expanding efforts to prevent veteran suicide.
Yes.
The VA has said this is the highest clinical priority.
Right.
Something like 20 veterans die each day by suicide. And this number has, for the most part, been pretty consistent.
Yes.
Why, after years of making this a priority, hasn't the VA been able to make a real improvement in this area?
Well, I don't think the country has made it a priority. I've said that we need a national conversation on mental health, homelessness, and addiction.
But you're in charge of the VA. So let's talk about what the VA is doing.
Yeah. Well, the VA has got very specific programs. Every veteran who comes to us gets a mental health screening. Every veteran who comes to us has same-day mental health services.
So why haven't the numbers improved?
Here's the problem. All of these cases are not related. I'll give you an example. 14 of the 20 who take their lives are veterans that we have no contact with. A couple are on active duty. Several are on guard and reserve duty and never deployed. And the bulk are from the Vietnam era. Lyndon Johnson left Washington, D.C. 50 years ago in January. And many of these problems have been brewing ever since that time. So we're not going to be able to get these numbers erased. But we have to change the culture, that we start training troops from the time they get into boot camp to the time they leave, not only on their own mental health, but to see signs in their buddies. And I will also say, you know, our Veterans Crisis Line gets 1,700 calls a day. Of those 1,700, we act on 200 to 300 calls where we send people out and we get those veterans help.
Does the VA have enough mental health providers right now?
Well, we are in the same position the United States is in. We were able to hire 3,900 mental health professionals last year. I think NPR has covered the fact that most of our medical schools are sending their students into the most expensive specialties out there, and VA suffers just as the rest of America suffers.
Secretary Wilkie, the last thing I would like to ask you about is a surprising moment that happened on the campaign trail recently where Congressman Seth Moulton of Massachusetts, he's a veteran running for the Democratic nomination. He did four combat tours in Iraq.
Yeah.
And at a campaign event last week, he spoke very frankly and openly about his experience with PTSD. This is what he told NPR about that moment.
Now I'm applying to lead the country. And I think it would be disingenuous not to lead by example and share my own story about my own struggles with these issues.
What's your reaction to seeing this kind of an honest conversation happening in a forum as prominent as a presidential campaign?
Well, it is about time. It is about time. We are seeing a generational shift in the armed forces of the United States where we finally talk about these things. We don't hide them. The military is a conservative institution for many reasons, and one of them is it takes a long time to change. But the more we hear voices like this, the more we talk about it, I think we'll be in a much better place.
Robert Wilkie is Secretary of the Department of Veterans Affairs. Thank you for joining us today.
Ari, thank you for having me.
Fighting soldiers from the sky, fearless men who jump and die, men who mean just what they say.
The following may not necessarily represent the views or opinions of this station, but they're coming around.
What is your major malfunction?
And now, the original pork-eating crusader,
Mr. Tom Claxton.
Vice President, Mr. Speaker, members of the Senate, of the House of Representatives, yesterday, December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy, the United States of America was suddenly and deliberately attacked by naval and air forces of the Empire of Japan. The United States was at peace with that nation, and at the solicitation of Japan, was still in conversation with its government and its emperor, looking toward the maintenance of peace in the Pacific. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves. No matter how long it may take us to overcome this premeditated invasion, the American people in their righteous might will win through to absolute victory. With confidence in our armed forces, with the unbounding determination of our people, we will gain the inevitable triumph, so help us God.
Those words of President Franklin Delano Roosevelt, uttered over 70 years ago before a Congress and a nation in shock, still stir the hearts of today's patriots. He delivered the words to a nation which only hours before had rested peacefully in a world overcome with the tragedies of war, and to a world anxious to discover if the United States would officially enter the conflict known as World War II. Within days, the U.S. would be fully embroiled in the war, with most of the nations holding in the Pacific having succumbed to the onslaught of the forces of the Empire of Japan, and Germany and Italy joining their Japanese ally and declaring war on the U.S. The devastating effects of the swift-moving Japanese attack would be felt by many Americans, both civilian and military, as they were left to their own devices by a nation caught with its pants down, guys. Young men in uniform were abandoned by a government unable to muster a timely response to the attack at Pearl Harbor and beyond. Many, like Glenn Frazier, held out hope that the promised reinforcements, resupply, or rescue might come only to be swept up by the Japanese juggernaut and cast into the hell that befell the survivors of the Bataan Death March. His story and those of his fellow survivors should be mandatory reading for every student in this nation in order that future generations understand the sacrifice that these men made for this nation. A nation, I'll remind you, that abandoned them on foreign lands and cost countless thousands of lives in the process. However, it is just as important to recognize that through all of his suffering, Lenin's and contemporaries never lost their love for this country or their belief that it is the greatest nation on earth. And so this year, over 70 years since the Japanese attack, we as a nation will again remember Pearl Harbor. Remember Pearl Harbor. Such rallying cries are not unique in our history. One can imagine the founding fathers in Philadelphia, during the heated debates over the Declaration of Independence, often implored the assembled delegates to remember Concord and Lexington to advance their cause, or generations to come using Remember the Alamo as a call to persevere against unsurmountable odds. While never romanticizing in film as the Alamo or Pearl Harbor would later be by Hollywood, the sinking of the USS Maine in Havana Harbor would stir public sentiment against Spain, which then owned Cuba, creating the Remember the Maine slogan and pressuring President William McKinley to ask Congress to declare war and bring the U.S. into the Spanish-American War. Some might argue that had the outcome and popularity of the Vietnam War been different, we might be regaling with cries of Remember the Maddox as a rallying cry for the Vietnam War, although it might be more appropriate to remember the Mayaguez. Just Google it, guys. Or more recently, we were told never forget 9-1-1 or 9-11, however the hell you want to say it. While our troops were spurred on by the Flight 93's Let's Roll, and that wasn't Alabama, guys, and a president that knew what it meant to defeat our enemies.
There are some who feel like that, you know, the conditions are such that they can attack us there. My answer is bring them on. We got the force necessary to deal with the security situation.
Now, undoubtedly, there are those that will bitch and moan and gnash their teeth about how such slogans are nothing more than nationalistic, jingoistic, simplistic propaganda meant to feed the most base instincts of our bloodlusting, imperialistic society. Damn, what a sentence. For you, I would simply say, how's that Hope and Change campaign slogan playing out for you, buddy? Because while remembering Pearl Harbor 75 years later may seem like an act of folly for a generation on the brink of extinction, each of these events and those corresponding slogans created a common ground and point of reference for a nation in need. Just as the Stars and Stripes gave heart to troops around the world in the aftermath of Pearl Harbor and to millions throughout the world seeking freedom, even till today, those slogans brought focus during the chaos of combat and clarity during the isolation of internment in foreign lands. One wonders how history will judge the current administration, which fails to take time to remember so many of the pivotal dates in our nation's history, will pause long enough to commemorate what happened at Pearl Harbor, or at least attempt to learn from the lessons of that tragic day. For not only were we caught flat-footed on that Sunday morning, we had allowed ourselves to be lulled into a false sense of security, that negotiations with our enemies might stop the inevitable march to war. FDR said it best himself.
Indeed, 1 hour after Japanese air squadrons had commenced bombing in the American island of Oahu, the Japanese ambassador to the United States and his colleague delivered to our Secretary of State a formal reply to a recent American message. Japan has therefore undertaken a surprise offensive extending throughout the Pacific area. The facts of yesterday and today speak for themselves.
At some point, we have to remember that there is evil in this world. Remember that there are people and nations that wish to do us harm. Remember that they will stop at nothing to see us in chains with our freedoms in tatters, our history rewritten and our culture transformed. And so, yes, it is the right and proper thing to do when we remember those who have gone before. From Concord to the Alamo, from Pearl Harbor to the Twin Towers, we must remember the sacrifices of those who have gone before in order that future generations embrace the freedom that was so dearly paid for by our patriots. No, the greatest infamy would be that we let their flame be extinguished by those more concerned with poll numbers than patriotism. For the Scuttlebutt Network, this is Tom Claxton, a true patriot and pork-eating crusader.
Where's your drill sergeant, men?
Hold up, sir!
So am I to understand that you men completed your training on your own?
That's the fact, Jack!
These are exactly the kind of men I want working on the Scuttlebutt Network.
Hey, remember, hero is not a four-letter word. God bless America. We'll catch you on the other side.
Hoorah.